I want to just begin this Christmas season with an Advent sermon. I don't know if you ever follow the Advent calendar. I know there's a lot of traditions at Christmas, like trees and lights and presents and food, right? Football's in there somewhere. Family getting together. There's all these traditions in the month of December. I want to encourage you to get a tradition that's centered on Scripture. I know you got Santa, and we're not going to throw you out of the church if you believe in Santa and all that. Some of y'all got the little elf on the shelf because Santa wasn't good enough, so now you got to bring in an elf to help out. But go ahead, elf it, Santa, whatever. But get a family tradition that's centered around Scripture. And so the Advent calendar. Advent, some of you may not be familiar with that term if you're not from a traditional church background, but Advent is waiting on the coming of the Messiah. That's really what the term Advent means. It's a season of waiting for the Messiah to come. And so through the month of December, there's many different Advent devotionals that you can find online free. You can buy something at the bookstore that will help lead you through the month of December. Some people have different candles that they light, signifying different things that Jesus is bringing. So what we're going to do here at Promise Land is follow that calendar, and today we're going to talk about one word that Jesus brings to us. I want you to close your eyes for a second and just clear your mind, clear the thoughts out of your mind. Just see a blank slate there, a blank canvas. And when I say this word, what's the first thing that comes to mind when I say peace? What comes to mind when I say the word peace? Anybody see a landscape of any sort? Did anybody see that? Did anybody see a stack of pancakes and bacon? You're just hungry. That has nothing to do with peace. Many different cultures have different ways of celebrating peace and talking about peace. The Native American cultures often would gather together, tribes would gather together in a peace treaty, and what would they do? They'd smoke a pipe. They'd smoke a peace pipe. There's a picture of them gathered around a fire, smoking a peace pipe. There's the international sign for peace, right? The peace sign that people throw up in different places. There's a symbol, the international peace symbol, circle with the little lines in it. When you see that, you know that's peace. And the tie-dyed means what? Hippie. Peace. And I learned today the American Sign Language sign for peace. Isn't that beautiful? This is the American Sign Language. Everything's at peace. So, how do we get it? How do we attain it? Peace is something that seems elusive. Like you taste it, you grab it for a second, but you can't seem to hold on to it. Peace is, it's hard to figure out, it's hard to nail down. It seems like it evaporates, like the cool weather this morning. Like we go out later, it's going to be warm. It's just like it was here for a minute, then it's gone. And that seems like that's how peace is. When you actually look in the Bible, and you can read throughout the Bible different sections, you see that the Bible is actually the authority on peace. Now that doesn't mean that peace is in every section of the Bible. In fact, there's many people in the Bible that are not at peace, and there's even God's people that aren't at peace at some point. But when you keep on reading, you see that God does have a plan for peace. And I found this video this week that is really short, but it packs a big punch. Check out this video on what the Bible says about peace.
The word peace is common in most languages. People can talk about peace treaties or times of peace. It means the absence of war. And in the Bible, the word peace can refer to the absence of conflict, but it also points to the presence of something better in its place. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And in the New Testament, the Greek word is eirene. The most basic meaning of shalom is complete or whole. The word can refer to a stone that has a perfect, whole shape with no cracks. It can also refer to a completed stone wall that has no gaps and no missing bricks. Shalom refers to something that's complex with lots of pieces that's in a state of completeness, wholeness. It's like Job, who says his tents are in a state of shalom because he counted his flock and no animals are missing. This is why shalom can refer to a person's well-being. Like when David visited his brothers on the battlefield, he asked about their shalom. The core idea is that life is complex, full of moving parts and relationships and situations, and when any of these is out of alignment or missing, your shalom breaks down. Life is no longer whole, it needs to be restored. In fact, that's the basic meaning of shalom when you use it as a verb. To bring shalom literally means to make complete or restore. So Solomon brings shalom to the unfinished temple when he completes it. Or if your animal accidentally damages your neighbor's field, you shalom them by giving them a complete repayment for their loss. You take what's missing and you restore it to wholeness. The same goes for human relationships. In the book of Proverbs, to reconcile and heal a broken relationship is to bring shalom. And when rival kingdoms make shalom in the Bible, it doesn't just mean they stop fighting, it also means they start working together for each other's benefit.
Wow. So much in the Bible about peace. In fact, when we went to Israel, we learned that shalom is a greeting. When you would meet somebody, talk to somebody, shalom, peace. The prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah the 9th chapter and the 5th verse, I want to read 3 verses for you that Isaiah begins to talk to us about the final answer to this question of how can I have peace. Isaiah 9 and 5, the boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. Incredible, incredible sentence. We don't need them anymore. There's no purpose for them anymore. We don't even need the boots. We don't need the uniforms. We'll just burn them because we need fuel for the fire. There's another place in Isaiah. I don't have it on the screen, but in the 2nd chapter of Isaiah, he says that they will hammer their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will no longer fight against nation, nor study war anymore. So instead of using swords to fight, we have no need of that. So we're going to take that metal, instead of throwing it away, hey, let's use it to plow our fields with it. And instead of stabbing people with spears, we'll use those spears to trim our vineyard. I want you to think about that possibility. What would that look like? Not just across, you know, the relationship with North Korea, Russia, the Islamic nations that are at war against each other, against others. But what that might look like in your world. That video described a wall. And the wall had cracks in it, and the wall had gaps in it. And shalom didn't just mean the absence of war, but shalom meant that the wall had the cracks filled and the holes filled up. If your life was a wall, just think about your life right now. If we could look at your life in terms of a wall, what would the integrity of that wall look like? How many gaps are there? How many cracks are there? How many difficult parts of your life are there? What Isaiah is saying is that there's going to be a time when your wall is full, is right. Your wall will not have blemishes in it or cracks in it. The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. Here's the next verse. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Shalom. That's what that text says. The Prince of Shalom, the Prince of Peace, and his government and its shalom will never end. As Christmas approaches, every year we go back to this concept, and I've heard it so many times, yet every year when it comes back around, I'm so amazed by this. I'm amazed by God. I'm blown away by how God does things. We're not going to need boots. We're not going to need spears and swords. And we're not going to need our uniforms anymore that have been bloodstained by war. Because why? Because a baby is going to be born. We've been given a child. We've been given a son, but not any son. The Son of God is coming to the world. Now that text was written 800 years before the baby was born, before Jesus. 800 years. And then there was 400 years of God continuing to talk to people and move through prophets, and a lot of things happened after Isaiah for 400 years. And then there was this 400-year gap between the Old Testament and the baby being born of darkness. That was the original Advent, the coming of the Messiah. And there's people here today that are in a place in your life, and maybe you're watching online today, you're in a place in your life right now that feels like that 400-year gap. And some of you feel like you've been in it for 400 years probably. Just, is this ever going to end? How will I fix this? The wall of my life has been cracked and broken. It's falling apart. I don't know how to solve it. I've tried this. I've tried that. I've done all these different things. I'm not sure what to do. I'm really glad you came to church today. A baby is born in Bethlehem. That changes everything. That changes everything. Bringing peace. And Jesus didn't come just to bring peace, but this is the main point of the day right here. Jesus is our peace. If you can understand that, that's a whole nother level. The Old Testament word for peace was shalom. That's a Hebrew word. Such a beautiful word, shalom. The New Testament word is eirene. That's a Greek word. And the Bible says that Jesus is our eirene. For those of you that speak Spanish, y'all can roll that R a little better, eirene, than I can. Jesus is coming. Jesus, I love, it's hard for us to wrap our head around the proper verb tense here. Because Jesus technically was born 2,000 years ago. But when we talk about Jesus coming to us, some of you, even though he was born 2,000 years ago, he's yet to have been manifested in your life, meaning he hasn't really been made real or present to you yet. This is the year. This is the time that Jesus is coming to be born into your life. Eirene is here. He is peace, and he's being born in your life. Check out this quick follow-up video right here.
Jesus came to offer his peace to others, like when he said to his followers, "My peace I give to you all." The apostles claimed that Jesus made peace between messed up humans and God when he died and rose from the dead. The idea is that he restored to wholeness the broken relationship between humans and their creator. This is why the apostle Paul can say Jesus himself is our eirene. He was the whole complete human that I am made to be but have failed to be. And now he gives me his life as a gift. And this means that Jesus' followers are now called to create peace.
Wow. We celebrate Christmas, and we go through all the effort and spend all the money and decorate and do all that kind of stuff, not for Santa, not for the fruitcake, the trees and all that. We're doing it because the Prince of Irene has come. Shalom has come. And Shalom is a man. He's our Savior. And so when you think about the wall of your life and all the pieces of it that need to be repaired, instead of you thinking about those bricks being put back in place and the cracks being sealed up perfectly, instead of you thinking that Jesus is Santa, that he's going to bring you all the things that you want because you've been good this year, instead of that, you think Jesus is coming to me. Jesus is the gift. Jesus is not going to give me something. Jesus is going to give me himself. He's giving me his eirene. He's giving me him. And when I have him, he fixes, he makes a way. He is the gap filler. He is the one that makes things right. He is the reconciler. He is the solution. And so these are the couple of things that Jesus brings to us. First of all, he brings us peace with God. That's our salvation. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, look at this right here. We have peace with God. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Now, some of you may not realize this, but when you live a life apart from God, you're actually in conflict with God. You don't have peace with God. And when you die in conflict with God because you haven't lived a life that was honoring him or for him or in his ways. And so you have conflict with God. And that's a big problem. You don't want to have conflict with God. So how do we have peace with God? Jesus makes it happen. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. The chasm between humanity and divinity is a huge, huge gap between the brokenness of people and the perfection of God. And the only way that that chasm is completed and filled is through Jesus Christ, our eirene. He's the one that fills in the bridge between God and man. As good as you want to be, and as many good things as you want to do, and as much as you eliminate all the bad things, we can never eliminate enough. And we can never do a good enough job to make it to a God who is absolutely perfect and pure and holy and righteous. We can never get there. But the good news of Jesus Christ is instead of us trying to figure out a way to get to him, he comes to us. Peace comes to us. A baby is born that will bridge the gap between us and God. Ephesians 2:14 says, for Christ himself has brought peace to us. He brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles. Whenever you see Jew and Gentile in the Bible, Jew is a symbol of God's people, holy people, and Gentiles are a symbol of people that are not holy, people that are away from God, people that are sinners. So he united all the people into one when in his own body on the cross, he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. And look what verse 18 says. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of Christ, what he has done for us. Christ gives us peace with God for eternity. That's our salvation. We get to live with God forever and ever and ever because of our faith and trust in what Jesus did for us. We have peace with God forever. But the good news is that it doesn't stop with that. And it doesn't start with death. So you don't have to, you know, if you get peace with God, that doesn't mean that you live miserable until you die, and then you get to live in heaven forever. The second thing that Jesus brings to us is the peace of God. And that's new life right now. Meaning that you give your life to Jesus. He brings you eternal salvation. Yes, you get to live with him forever and ever and ever in perfect unity and perfect new heaven and new earth. And all that's amazing in salvation. But the other good news is that starting today, Irene can live in you right now. Shalom. Peace. Right now. The peace of God, the Irene, can be with you in every situation, regardless of what things Congress passed, regardless of how the economy is doing, regardless of the turmoil that's in your house or at your school or whatever's happening. Irene is here. Shalom is here. Look what Jesus said in John 14:27. I am leaving you with a gift. Christmas present. Here it comes. Peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Now the world will offer you peace. And the world can give you doses of peace that run out. So you're troubled at work. You come home. You take a drink of something. A couple drinks. Three drinks. Man, things are going well, right? Man, I feel pretty good. Yeah. And then you go to sleep and you wake up and you don't have that peace anymore. That peace is gone. And so you think, well, I get home from work, I'm going to have a couple more of those. Or I'll have three or four. And you know what? Three doesn't do it anymore. Four or five. Or maybe it's a pill or it's eating something. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's kissing on somebody or hugging on some other person or having them in your life or doing something else with them. That makes me, I have peace, I have resolution. And then we wake up and it's not there anymore. Or maybe it's buying something. I've had a hard day. I've had a hard week. I just need to go buy a new dress. I need to go buy some new jewelry. I need to go buy a new gun. I need to go buy and shoot somebody. I know that's what you're thinking, but no, it's not what I'm talking about. I need to buy anything. You know, you buy something and you get a little kickback from it. It feels good. That newness is shiny and all that. We talked about this last week. It doesn't fulfill you. This is what Jesus says. The world cannot give it to you. The world can't give it to you. It gives you little doses of it, but it never satisfies you. So he says, the peace I give you is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Jesus, your Irene, is coming to bring completeness to your life, to bring healing into your life. And this verse right here I'm about to read, you need to write this down. You need to memorize this. You need to pray this. This is how-to. The how-to of the message today is Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. Instead, what? Pray about everything. Yeah. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he has done. Then you will experience God's peace. I posted a video online during Thanksgiving. I said, when you're thankful, your thankfulness pushes out bitterness. You can't be thankful and bitter at the same time. You can't be thankful and angry and fearful at the same time. When you have thankfulness in your heart, and that's what he's saying right here, when you begin to pray about everything and you don't worry about anything, but you pray about it instead, and you tell God, go ahead and tell him what you need. God, I need help. I need this. This person, I'm going to tell you what, and just go into detail about everything that he did and what, and I can't believe it. Then just tell God. Be honest with God. Talk to him and then thank him for everything he's done, because there's so many blessings that we take for granted. There's so many things that we have that we take the credit for it. But instead, when we start giving God the credit and God the glory for it and thank him, this is what it says. You will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And that's what we want. We want a peace that's like a force field. That's a protectant, a shield. And I remember as a kid playing, you know, with my friends, and we'd be playing, you know, whatever, you know, shooting each other and doing all this kind of stuff. And, no, I got a force field right now. You can't shoot me right now, right? That's what he's offering to you. It is a protectant. It is a guard. His peace will guard you. That thought comes back to you that you had last month and it drove you into depression. No, it's not going to happen. No, because Adonai is here. Shalom is here. God is with me. Peace is with me. I'm not going to allow that's not going to happen. His peace, his shalom, his Adonai is protecting me. It's not because I have my life together. It's not because my wall looks pretty, but because Jesus is with me. Because he's with me, he is my peace. He is why I am going to make it. I have him, so I'm going to make it. Amen. William Cornell in 1889 wrote this amazing chorus that some of y'all have sung before. And it just goes, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. In fathomless billows of love. Lord, we pray that fathomless billows of love will sweep over this room right now. By the power of your Holy Spirit, breathe new life into couples, marriages. God, we have some Bobcats in here today that are about to take finals and wrap up a semester. And there can be so much tension and so much heaviness as they finish out their semester. God, we just pray that Adonai is with them in the library, and Adonai is with them as they're filling out those blue books and their Scantrons and whatever they're doing, God, to wrap up this semester. Lord, we pray that your peace, your shalom, is in every office complex and every job site, every school hallway and playground and athletic field. Lord, we pray that your Irene is with us. You are with us. Your peace, Lord. I pray that as that wonderful chorus says, that it will sweep over us, that it will blow over us, blow over our little meek and humble spirit forever, we pray. Forever, forever. Better than anything the world can offer. God, we recognize that today, God. I just pray for everybody and with everybody in the room here today, Lord. I pray for those watching or listening online right now. I just pray, God, you're with us. You're with us. You're with us. Thank you for being born. Thank you for coming to us. Lord, we look to you, Lord. We long for you. to be with us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you're here today and you're far from God, maybe you've never given your heart to God, maybe you've never prayed, you're kind of on the outside looking in today, I want to pray with you right now. Maybe you have a long time ago, but you've been living far from God for a while. Let's come back to God today. He never left. He's right here. He's eagerly waiting for us to come to Him. So let's do that today. He's knocking on the door of our hearts. He's saying, would you let me in today? And we want to respond with absolutely, Lord, we want you in our life today. If you're that way, if you're saying that, why don't you just pray with me right now? You can pray the words I'm praying, or you can pray your own words. Let's just say, Lord, I give you my life today. I surrender my heart to you today. I invite you in. I want to be with you, God. Please forgive me of my sin. Please help me. Please help me with my past. Please help me with my present. Please help me with my future. I look to you, Jesus, as my Savior. I trust in you, Jesus, as the way. I can never do this by myself. I want to live for you. I want to live with you. I welcome your peace. I welcome your peace, God. And I make myself available. Fill me, Lord, with your Spirit. Fill me, Lord God, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God's doing something here today, right now, in people's lives, all across this room. Happens every week. God's making a move on you. Let him in. Not just in this moment, but all week. Lord, we let you, and God, we trust in you. We look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you clap your hands right now and thank God? Lord, we thank you.